As mentioned, this was the last epistle the Apostle Paul wrote when he was in the final imprisonment. And they say, the history says, that shortly after he was executed by a command of the evil emperor. And it is one of the epistles of the last days. There are few epistles that are epistles of the last days. 2 Timothy, 2 and 3 John, 2 Thessalonians, and others. And in the last days, there are difficult times. And the tone the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy is as if he is lamenting the church, the condition of the church of the living God, and how it became a great house. It reminds us of the lamentable prophet, the lamenting prophet Jeremiah, when he laments the condition of Israel. How is the gold become dim, and the most fine gold is changed? The stones of the sanctuary are fallen in the corner of every street. And he goes on lamenting the condition of Israel. And Paul here, in the same lamentable tone, all those that are in Asia be turned away from me. In my first answer, no one stood with me. And he names those that have left him, departed from him. And in this condition, he charges Timothy, you know, a dear faithful one. And Timothy was, as we know, a timid person. He was crying in the epistle. He says, I'm being mindful of your tears. But he encourages him. And there are a few things in the epistle, in spite of the deteriorating condition, there are few things that do not change. They are fixed in God. In every chapter, there was something that is unchangeable in God. In chapter 1, in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. That doesn't change. This promise of life is even before the ages. When God promised in the first prophecy and promise that God made, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. And so on in every chapter. In chapter 3, the verse that we all know, every scripture, 3:16, one of the 3:16s. Every scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto every good work. And in these verses that we just read, there's another one that is fixed, unchangeable. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and Christ Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. The judgment that is assigned to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the judge of the living and the dead. And that does not change. There would come a day the Son of Man would take his position and he would be judging the dead and the living. And we know the judgment of the dead in Revelation 20. And he saw the dead standing before the judgment, before the great white throne. And books were opened. And before this, heaven and earth has fled away from his sight. So these people who would come out of death and stand before him on no ground. There is no earth, there is no heaven. Standing like this and be judged. But there's also the judgment of the living. And we read of it in Matthew 25. When all those, the nations, he would gather all the nations around him. And he would put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left hand. And would call those that on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, blessed the kingdom that is appointed to you from the foundation of the earth. And the ones on his left hand, the goats, he would judge them and to go away from him, the evildoers, in the lake of fire that is prepared for the devil and his angels. So he will judge them alive, the living, the quick, and the dead. And that expression is mentioned a few times here and also in First Peter. And more than, I think it's mentioned three times, the judgment of the living and the dead. So one day, everyone would be judged by him. And believers is not coming into judgment, but one day also we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and to give account, not to be judged for sins. But he is the judge of all. That's one of his titles, the Son of Man. And God has given the judgment to him because he is the Son of Man. So, although that verse doesn't apply to believers, but we know that one day we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account to what we have done in the flesh. And by this charge, Paul is charging Timothy and each one of us.
As brethren have pointed out, it is the last message of Paul that he sends to Timothy. He's passing on the baton to him. And what he is to do to carry on what had been committed to Paul, the Word of God. This didn't change either. We talked about the things that don't change. As we find earlier here, in this very epistle, the purpose of God called us for an eternal glory before him. And the very thought here that Brother Wagner closed with, the judge of the living and the dead, and it's at his appearing and his kingdom, when the responsibility of the believer or of man is presented, it's in relation to the kingdom. When the rewards or the effect or the results of his judgment will be displayed. But before he establishes his kingdom here on earth, it will be a kingdom in righteousness, in peace, in equity. Everything will be put in its place before he sets up that rule. All the disorder, everything that was out of tune with the mind of God, everything will be brought to light. We ourselves will be brought to light, but at a different time. We'll already be with the Lord in glory. But we will there appear before the judgment seat of Christ, pointed out that we might receive, or everyone receive, according as he has done in his body, whether it be good or bad. Now, sometimes Christians are fearful, what will happen? I have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But let's remember, when you and I are going to be there, we will be changed into glorious image of our Lord Jesus. There we will be standing like he is. in all his beauty and glory. It's the works that are being judged. And we'll be so thankful that there and then, everything that was in my service was not of God, has no place there. That was for self, interests, and so on. And the Lord is able to discern that. That's all left here behind. That doesn't get to heaven. And so what he awards then, when he gives the award for service, what he recognizes, even then we find, when we're in the glory, chapter 4 of Revelation, they cast their crowns before him. Thou art worthy. So if there's any good in you or me, it is what he has worked out by his Spirit in us, in these earthen vessels that he is forming for himself. But it's a time, as he says in verse 3 of the fourth chapter, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So those are the conditions we are living in, brethren. When man, professing godliness, but having denied the power. And so there's an outward form of religion continuing on. And we know that's what's happening around us. But we're in danger of falling into that same pattern. Not that there's a condition as those he describes her that are enemies of the truth of God, but it's so easy if we're not watchful. That's why we're encouraged in Scripture to be watching and praying in these last days and to be faithful to him in what he has committed to us. And then just a thought further back when we are in chapter 1, the verses we've read, and what he says, therefore I put thee in remembrance, stir up the gift of God that is in thee by the putting on of thy hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear and of power and of love and of a sound mind. I add a verse. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. And he goes on to describe that, those verses. Be not ashamed. It's a wonderful thing. Are you ever ashamed? Are we ever ashamed of the testimony of our Lord? Remember, the Lord spit upon, or the world in its enmity, cast him out, rejected, trampled, as it were, upon him and upon the truth. Now, when you're in this world, we get to stand against that in a time like this. That is what you're called upon to do. How can we do that? The only possible way is if I'm filled with the beauty of Christ and with what he has done for me. That is, he says here, who has saved me, nor is prisoner, who has saved us, called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. That's verse 9, which is given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So here we, you and I, we have possession. We are called by him before the foundation of the world. Can you understand that? Explain it? But God says it. Do we believe it? This is what we need to believe, God, what God says. And that he's brought us into this wonderful relationship. And nothing can change that. But he desires that we walk worthy of that, that we give expression to that truth in a very real way, the little while that remains to us. Be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord.